For those of you that I haven't told the story about, the reason I'm wearing these glasses is because I had cataract surgery, and I can see you great out there, but I just can't read. And so I was just fitted with glasses, and that was on Thursday. They said it would be 8 business days, which means I'll be lucky in a month to get glasses. So anyway, it's kind of an interesting look, you know, it's the professor look, looking over your glasses. And anyway, today is Palm Sunday, but it also has another name. What is the other name for this Sunday? Passion Sunday. You know, there is this interesting tension in this service. It starts with joy and excitement, and it has the symbols of that wonderful procession that occurred going into Jerusalem. And that's why we have the palms. That's why we remember that moment. And the people were really, really excited. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah they had been waiting for. At least that's what they believed with all their heart. And they just couldn't even believe what they had lived at the time that people had waited for and prayed for so long. And this was the moment. And they knew that Jesus had shown power. And that power had gone forth. And even Herod had heard about his healings and wanted to see him do a miracle. And even at that moment in which he was arrested, he had to perform a miracle, right? He healed the ear that had been cut off with a sword. And I can imagine the excitement must have been palpable. You could have felt it, like, you know. And I've often thought what it would have been like to have been in that crowd. Just captured in your mind a little moment, the real excitement. And I want you to just understand that this service is intentionally confusing. You have joy, you have pain. We have the reading of the Passion. Right after we read about this joyful entry, we have the palms. We have the crowns of thorns up here. These are thought to be similar to the thorns that were used for the crown that was put on Jesus' head. All these wonderful things that are taking place. We have the Passion, the total and utter despair after Jesus died, and then we have the Holy Eucharist, which is joy again. And so, you know, this is this moment of walking in this tremendous amount of emotion, and that's intentional. You know, we happen to be sacramental people. We love symbolism. However, we like symbolism that makes sense. And this day's almost too much. It's almost an outpouring of confusing symbols, and they're thrown out at us one after another. And that's why you have to participate in this Holy Week. See, it's all broken out for you. I always often think that if there is a Sunday in the whole year that was the most Anglican for worship, this is the day. This is the day. It's the most Anglican because it has so much powerful symbolism. It's this incredible teaching moment. Now, I wanted to ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why we start our services with a procession at the start and no other churches do that? Well, few other churches do that. Why is that, do you think? We do that because of the procession into Jerusalem, right? Just want you to know, this is kind of like an instructed Eucharist moment, right? Why do we do this? Well, you need to understand every Sunday we experience Holy Week. Holy Week changed the world, and it changes our lives every week. And unless you understand Holy Week, you don't understand our worship. So I want to be the cheerleader. I want to encourage you to experience this week fully. Come and participate in these services and be reminded of what took place. And you know, and it's happening so fast. Things keep changing. You know, it's this wonderful moment, and then suddenly it turns again, and it happens over and over. don't know about you, but I never really kind of believed that people could change quickly. Did you ever believe that? You know, we live in a time where we have a political thing going on right now. And it's a fascinating thing to me because they take a lot of polls. You know what a poll is, right? That's where they go ask people their opinion, and they manipulate the response based on how they ask the question. You do know that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, when I study statistics.
Statistics.
Yeah, we used to have this wonderful class on there, how to lie with statistics. You know, you can do it wonderfully. Interestingly, so it says in there that right up to the moment where people are voting, a huge percentage say they could change their mind. And I kept thinking, are you kidding me? You know, how could you possibly at this point in the game not have made up your mind, right? But it apparently a lot of people had made up their mind because they're waiting for something that speaks to them personally. And that's what people, I believe, haven't really changed all that much. Because they were looking for something personally in this Jesus. And if they didn't see it, they could be changed. Now, I don't know about you. I guess maybe it's my German heritage. It's really hard to get me to change. When I make up my mind, you know, he's known me a long time. Amen. You know, it's hard to change this guy. You know, amen. Keep praying it, you know. So.
You and Ed Renner.
So, just, I would like to encourage everybody here to do something really radical. Take your bulletin home with you this week. Don't leave it around here. And in there are some boxes. And those are there were instructions in there. We don't read it to you every week because we're under the radical assumption you know how to read. Amen?
Amen.
And you not only know how to read, you know how to understand. But we don't provide time for you to read those things during the service. But I want to encourage you this week, take it home and read why we do what we do during the service. And do it in light of Holy Week. And understand that our worship is nothing more than when what happened was is the understanding of what took place hit our hearts. Suddenly we're changed. There's this wonderful song that's sung on Good Friday called "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And I think it's a wonderful song. We used to have a guy in Merced that had this amazing voice, and he could almost just rip your heart out with a song, and he would sing it, you know. And the interesting thing that happened to me is I had one of those almost like out-of-body moments where you suddenly felt like you were there. And you were suddenly, you could almost smell and see and feel. The senses almost became engaged in it. So that I could almost say, yes, I was there when they crucified my Lord. Because what had happened was I had experienced now that which happened there once and for all in the past. And once that happens, you're changed forever. That's what we're all called to. It's called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what personal is like. Personal is something that engages yourself fully, and not only in your mind. You know, you can understand concepts and you can have an opinion about everything. Everybody, they have people that ask you your opinion. People can't wait. I heard people criticize the fact nobody had ever called them. I ignore them completely, you know, because I don't think they really want to know my opinion. But people really like to tell you their opinion, but our opinions don't matter. You know, truth is what matters, right? And God desires that He reaches into our hearts and on our mind. He says He'll transform and renew our minds and make us understand the things of God because these things are not understood, you know, with the human flesh. It says, you know, people can't understand these things because they're spiritually discerned. Unless the spirit has been turned on, the spirit has been engaged, we can never understand fully what it is that's taking place. This is the week to go deeper. Again, for some of you, you might have said, but I've done it every year for 40 years. And I can say that. I've gone every year for 40 years, and every year God touches me. He wants to touch you in special moments. And he does it at that point where you are in your walk. And it's different for every one of us. But I will promise you that if you will open yourself up to experience this, God will encounter you in a way that maybe he never did before. Either that or he'll quicken something that was there that had gotten kind of, you know, I got that. But all of a sudden, I got that. It's going to change you. It'll transform you. And then it will renew you. It'll make you fall in love again with Jesus. So this is I'm being the cheerleader today. I want to encourage you to not find any excuse. No excuse is more important. Look what God did because he loves us. Can we do this little thing? You remember the apostles are there. They kept falling asleep. You know, and Jesus, can't you do this little thing? And really, 1 hour with me? Well, I'm being really radical. I'm asking you to give more than 1 hour, but in a whole week. An hour on Thursday evening. Maybe even three, can you imagine? 3 hours on Good Friday. Maybe even sunrise and the other service. Ah, the guy's lost his mind. Do you dare go deeper with Jesus? It's a gift that's being offered to you. Now the question is, what are you going to do about it? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this special day. Of all the symbolism is overwhelming, and it touches us in brief moments in whole different ways, and we just thank you for that. It's a gift that you've given to your church. Now I pray, Lord God, by your Spirit, that you would open up the hearts and minds of your people to be blessed by those things, and be touched by those things, and be changed by those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take a moment.